Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Cannabis Tech Talks. You're chopping it up with Chuck, and I am here at MJ Biz 2021. We have an amazing lineup for you guys today. And first and foremost, I want to introduce a couple of guests that I have here. This was something that just kind of sort of happened randomly. We ran an article in our magazine, which basically took a look at every single logo of every dispensary in the United States. This was an incredible amount of research done by David Wallach. This was, I'm telling you, this guy looked at every logo of every dispensary in the United States. I don't even know how many that is, but it's
thousands.
A lot. Yes, it's a lot. And my editors tried to cut that down to 2 pages, and he was like, stop it. This is such a great story. He went state by state by state, and we have today on Cannabis Tech Talks the winners of the best logo of all the dispensaries in the United States. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for our guests today. Can you guys go ahead and introduce yourself and tell our audience who you are and what is your dispensary?
My name is Dan Rozek, and I'm here with my wife,
Jackie Rozek.
And we own Glazed and Confused in Crystal Falls, Michigan. It was a call kind of came out of the blue and said that they were doing this article and that we had won. And I honestly thought it was a hoax at first, and thought that they were a scam, but it's legit. It's an honor. It's a pleasure. It's, you know, it's overwhelming, yeah, and the honor.
It's not very often you get to do something that is unique and you know, kind of clever in the industry, because there's lots of media sources, there's lots of stories being written, lots of press releases, you know, all that stuff. And again, I've got to give props to our guy David, because this was his brainchild. He was like, you know, logos are cool. He's a creative type. And once he started, you know, rolling up his sleeves and digging into this, I think he got a little bit obsessed, and I think this became something that was to him a mission, you know, like to really kind of peel back the layers behind what goes into a dispensary logo and, you know, kind of what's the story behind that. So I'm really excited that we have you guys here. I want to find out more about it. First of all, Glazed and Confused is where did you get the name?
So we were doing construction with the very first round when we were a gift shop. We were a supper club before that, and we were cleaning out the kitchen, and we had two fryers sitting there. And the guy that was working construction, he was a friend, and his son, he said, hey, you know, nobody does donuts around here. Maybe you can do donuts along with this.
Yeah.
I went, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. And then his son goes, yeah, and call it Glazed and Confused. And I went, that's pretty cool. And then like 3 hours later, our neighbor who owns an electrical wiring harness facility next to us comes over and says, I've got my son lives in Colorado, and we told him what you guys were doing, and he said, you should close down the electrical shop, open up a donut shop, and call it Glazed and Confused. We aren't going to do that, but, you know, I'm like, that's the second time I've heard that name now in a matter of hours. Mm-hmm. I'm like, the universe is saying something to me. We might as well do it.
So yeah.
That's where we got the name from.
I love that. I mean, what's in a name, right? You will sometimes hear people say, it doesn't matter what you name the product, doesn't matter what you name the business, it's all about the product, it's all about the business. I say nay. I say that name is something, you know, that like instantly can give people a feeling, an idea, you know, something like that. So when did you know, okay, this is what it's going to be?
Pretty much that evening.
Yeah.
And when we had said that, it's like, look, I've heard it twice in the same day. It's
yeah.
a clever name. We can make donuts. Or we
yeah.
could make donuts at
Did
that time.
Did you look
time.
To see if it was like trademarked or if anybody else was using it?
Yep. At that time, when there was one place in Michigan that had closed for, I want to say 2 years, had been closed for 2 years, so
okay.
the name was available at that
yeah.
time.
Yeah. And it was a donut place.
And
it was
donuts.
A donut place.
Yeah.
And
not
there
a dispensary.
Was a, right, not a dispensary. And there was a chain or like three or four stores of a donut shop up in Canada, and then one in New York, I think. And that was it. But they were all donut shops, not dispensaries.
Yeah.
And we had tried to look up, once we came up with the logo, too. And the logo was, I mean, I just basically sat, you know, in the living room and drew something on a napkin and then gave it to my wife, who's a little bit better designer than I am.
Okay, this is getting better and better.
Right, yeah. And she kind of rendered up something a little bit better. And I have a friend I went to high school with who was a backdoor neighbor to us.
Yeah.
And so I called him up. He owns a sign shop and said, yep, I'm going to design something for you. I kicked a couple things back and forth and said, that's the one. You know, change this, change that. And now we're all good. And kind of ran with it from there, and then sat around with our staff at that time and, enjoying some recreational activities, trying to come up with a name for them.
Yeah.
And we had lots of names, and we landed on Weedy McWeedface because it got the most laughs out of everybody.
Yeah.
And so now he's just known as Weedy as we go around, and we've got a costume coming up for him. We've got like a 15.
So he's like
flag.
A mascot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. He's like a mascot. You have a mascot like Gritty or like, you know, one of these sports teams.
Yeah. Yep.
And Dave found you.
Yeah. And again, it's, you know, just my wife and I, we have one store.
Yeah.
The nearest gas station is like between 5 and 7 miles away from us.
Uh-huh.
We're right over the on the Michigan side of the border between Michigan and Wisconsin. So
okay.
It's a how he found us is just a small little place, other than maybe, you know, weed maps or online.
Well, the internet's
amazing.
A powerful thing, you
right.
know what I mean? Like,
yep.
he was able to find you. So, okay, so let's go through the process of actually opening a dispensary in Michigan. Was it easy? Was it a bunch of hoops to jump through? Did you have to pay an arm and a leg, or just the leg? Like, kind of talk our audience through, you know,
yep.
you've got a logo, you've got a name, now it's time to set up shop.
Yep, and we had a long journey to get there, and it basically started, there was a piece of property really close to ours.
Yeah.
And it had been up for sale for like 3 or 4 years, and being the supper club, and it had been vacant. I was waiting till after hunting season, said, okay, once hunting season's done, I'm gonna go look at that property.
Yeah.
I called the real estate company a few days before Thanksgiving, and they said, you need, somebody else has already made an offer on this, and you need to make an offer within 24 hours. So I played that game and got in a bidding war with them, and fought back and forth and ended up getting the building.
Yeah.
But I had to borrow money from my uncle, a friend of the family, and my parents. And
yeah.
Plus all the money I had to get the building. Did that.
So you were like,
gift shop.
Yeah, yep. You were like, okay, this is gonna happen. We've got a name. We've got a location. I'm in a bidding war. I need some dough.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so got that going. Then we opened up as a gift shop that very first time.
Uh-huh.
And under the gift shop rules, we were allowed to give cannabis away, but not sell it. So we had
so
wooden poker chips that we would burn the UP into.
Uh-huh.
And we had coasters. We had different sizes of artwork that you could buy, and then you'd receive free cannabis with that. The the county prosecutor and county sheriff went downstate to Lansing to the state's attorney general to talk with them face to face, and they said, he's not breaking any laws, which is, thank God for us and the lawyers, thinking
right.
going through
right.
everything. And so that's how we funded the remodel of the rest of the store
uh-huh.
and some of the startup, but not getting to the licensing yet. So then we ran out of money from that, borrowed more money again for licensing, and was set to open on 4/20 of last year.
Uh-huh.
And COVID hit. So we said that we weren't gonna open, because I have asthma and my son's got asthma.
Yeah.
That we weren't gonna open until we found a way around it or we go broke. And
mm-hmm.
both of those things about happened at the same time. We had some friends that had a coffee shop, and they were kind of on cruise control with that. So they said they could come and open it up for us until we got vaccinated. We got vaccinated about a month or so later after opening, and taken over from them. In the meantime, when we were also going broke at that same time, I had sold my snowmobile, sold my four-wheeler, I was selling my car, I had sold a couple other things too.
Yeah.
And
you do what it takes.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, leveraging yourself to the hilt.
Yeah.
And, you know, basically we were a week away from, say, calling it quits and not being able to make it.
Oh, geez.
And my uncle, And my aunt was killed in the Nairobi, Kenya bombings in 1998.
Uh-huh.
And when Osama bin Laden's terrorist group, Al-Qaeda, had blown up the embassy there. And she was one of the Americans that was killed there. And my uncle received a settlement from the Saudis paying off their war crimes.
Wow.
And from the settlement from that, he called me that week and said, how much do you need and how much can I buy into your company for? So
wow.
That's how we ended up getting funded.
So this is not one of those stories of big mega conglomerates coming in and, dominating the landscape. This is literally a passion project come to life.
Right.
In some of the most difficult circumstances, and you guys couldn't even sell weed in the beginning.
Right.
No.
Yeah. Couldn't even sell it in the beginning. And then
you had to give it away.
Right. Had to give it away.
Which normally goes against all principles of business.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And to have that to fund the building, and we took all that money the first time and remodeled the inside.
Yeah.
And we haven't had any customers on the inside yet. It's all been curbside.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
So if we had known it better, we would have redone the outside of the building.
Yeah,
and
then
redone the inside while we were going.
The best drive-thru in the state. Jeez. So what's the town like? Give us the background. Are you the only dispensary there? Is there competitors? What's the, population and landscape size of where you are?
So it's between 5 to 7 miles of the nearest gas station.
Okay.
The town.
Very rural. Area.
Okay. So it's a lot of agriculture, a lot of
just woods.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Trees.
Okay,
and then I think our nearest neighbor's maybe a quarter mile away or better.
Okay,
and then the next one after that's probably another half a mile or so.
I'm gonna have to venture up there and check this place out because this sounds super cool.
It is.
Yeah.
And, we've got a all live edge trim that came off our sawmill because we had a sawmill for a short period of time, and we logged the logs off of our property and cut our own wood and had that sitting around, and we were running out of money again and said, hey Dad, let's run that through the sawmill again and then make that into trim for our stuff here, and it looks really good.
Wow.
We have a lot of, we're not the Apple store looking place. It's
right.
Very country and very,
uh-huh.
We still have the bar from the supper club that was there. That was a kind of a heart-shaped bar.
Yeah.
And so they got the two bubbles of the heart shape, and the story that we heard was is they didn't build the building big enough, so they had to cut the tip of the heart off to fit it into there.
So what is the community like? How does the community feel about you? Is it, I've lived in small towns before. My uncle had a dairy farm in Chihuahua, Washington. We had 300 head of cattle. I would go to school with cow crap on my shoes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know what it's like to be in a small, kind of community. What do people think about Glazed and Confused?
We've had a great community response. I used to help take care of, with the planning.
Uh-huh.
I was on the planning commission, and so I tried to involve myself in the community to kind of see where the community was before we opened.
Yeah.
And get a feel for it, and then look for ways that we could help the community. And we, I think, have done a great job of showing the community that we can help support our community, we can give good jobs to
mm-hmm.
people, and we can provide product that helps other people in our community with pain or anxiety, whatever it may be. And I think we've really given the community a good view on marijuana, as opposed to it could have been negative, but I think we've done a good job of it.
So were you guys cannabis consumers before you set up shop, even
yes.
when it wasn't legal, guys were proponents of the plant and the, kind of the all the different healing properties and everything like that way before?
So I had a experience, I guess. I was in about 2000, I think it was, I was working at a ski hill locally and had my own snowmobile there. And we used to have fun running up the ski hills, and when you get to the top, you could jump the sled.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing that with one of my buddies and forgot that they had closed the line off, or closed the runoff, so the line was across there. And I, as I jumped the hill, it was basically rope sky snow. And that fast. And when I saw the rope, I had enough time to just let go of the handlebars and turn my head a tiny bit. And the rope jumped the windshield hit me in the chest and neck. It broke the inch and a half tree that it was tied to over. I mean, completely snapped it. It caught me underneath my jaw. I flipped around and got slammed into the snow. I stood up and my buddy's running over to me. I put my gloves up on my neck like this and pull them away, and there had blood on them, but not a lot. And I'm looking down and looking around, and I wasn't squirting anything. So I'm like, okay, I think I'm all right. And he's like, oh my God, I can't believe you're not dead, you know? And I'm like, yeah, me neither. And then I spit blood and I go, okay, let's go down to ski patrol. He goes, it looks like you just got road rash. I'm like, I just spit blood. We're going down there. So I go to ski patrol and they put a, I sat down there for a second. They put a scalpel and a trach tube right next to me to do an emergency tracheotomy if they need to, right below where the wound was.
Wow.
And took me down to ER and they did CAT scan, MRI and x-rays and stuff and said that I tore a bunch of muscles and ligaments in my neck on the right side. And they tried to give me Vicodin, and with Vicodin, a half of Vicodin, I start puking because I have a sensitivity.
Yeah.
And so then they tried Flexeril, a muscle relaxer, and that didn't do anything. And then flash forward a couple years, and we had our first kid, and I was staying at home watching our daughter.
Yeah.
And carrying her a lot was really, you know, aggravating that injury. And they said that cannabis was a new thing in Michigan that we could try out. And I'd been familiar with it
multiple
times before. And we're like, all right, well, I think this will probably work for me.
You're like, I'll give it a go.
Yeah, and they at that time, it was pretty new, so they had to fax my records off to the doctors. They came up.
So they had medical cannabis at the time. All right.
At that time, I was in on the medical
one.
Did it for myself for about a year, found out how well that worked.
Yeah.
There was a traveling doctor that was coming around our area, so I called him up and said, hey, can I come, you know, with you just for a little bit and pick up some patients around the UP? He said, no problem, sure. So I picked up my five patients that way and grew for 8 to 9 years. I think I started in 2010 by myself. In 2011, I was a caregiver, and I had about 60 plants going all the time. And
this is a lot more than a logo.
Right.
You're a grower. You're a producer. You are like making it happen.
Yep.
Was it tricky to figure out how to, you know, optimize and grow, you know, proper lighting and water?
I started in a basement.
Yeah.
Had a 6.5-foot ceiling, and then it was a 6x6 room that was all cinder block, and then there was a 2x6 room. So my 2x6 room, my plants are my mother's, that was the mother and baby room, the vegetative room, ended up looking like squares because they were all boxed in there. And then the other section was, you know, they
were crammed in. Where did you get your gear? Like, where did you get your information on how to grow? Did you just go online?
A little bit online, reading through High Times magazine.
Yes.
We had a couple grow shops.
Shout out
up
to
there.
High Times magazine.
Yeah. And we had gone to a couple grow stores up there too and started knowing some of the guys that had hydro grow or the grow shops.
Yeah.
And between from them and, you know, I think I did the Green Bible too. Read the Green Bible and read. I basically quit video games. I had like $600 or something into a video game and said, if I quit this, I could be a rocket scientist. So instead of being a rocket scientist, I just read on horticulture and botany and, you know, anything that I could grab my hands on.
And you saw this all happening in front of you.
Yep.
Yeah. And you were like, all right, this is cool.
So, yeah.
Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Good.
And after I got good at it for myself, she was done being a department head at Home Depot. Just did not like that anymore. And I was done watching the kids at home and said, hey, I'll swap you. I'll get a job. I think I do this pretty well. So
yeah.
I think, and that's how I started being a caregiver full time. And I actually would drop my stuff off at the dispensaries too.
Yeah.
When we had caregiver to caregiver, and watched a few of those dispensaries transition too to be fully licensed also. And then when they came up and said, hey, you were a caregiver, now you have a license. So it's kind of a small community up there, which is kind of neat to see the others keep advancing.
Well, you were like serving the community. You're almost like in a small town where you have a town doctor, you know, someone that comes in and, you know, can help people out, you know, cures what ails you, that kind of thing. I'm imagining that people were looking at you like, cool, you're a valuable part of the community.
I think they've gotten there. There was a lot of skeptics at first.
Stigma?
When we had a vote in our township when they legalized it for rec, and it only passed by 3 votes in our township. So it was like, you know, very close. So our township didn't go all in on all the licenses because they wanted to kind of appease the naysayers still,
sure.
too, and prove to them that we were a valuable commodity,
yeah.
and that we're going to bring tourism and businesses and
yeah.
jobs and other things.
And a killer ass logo.
And a killer logo, right? Yeah,
that's right.
That's it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think now we told the township that we were going to employ I think 8 people,
yeah.
and I think we're at 19 right now.
Stop it.
So yeah.
stop it. That is amazing.
Yeah.
That's got to feel good. You guys are building something. You guys are a part of the community. You're creating jobs. You're providing relief. You're, providing a product that people need. And honestly, I feel like it's stupid that we try to lump it only as medical or only as rec. Like, I feel like people can decide what it means to them for themselves. Like,
yeah.
cannabis is an important part of a lot of people's lives. And the fact that, you have to kind of like, put it in this category or put it in this category. The bottom line is, it's something that is really beneficial. It's good for the economy. It's good for, people's lives. I think I'm a better parent because of cannabis. You know what I mean?
My patience level goes way up.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I will just sit there and just listen for a really long time about whatever. I'm not impatient. I'm curious. I just feel like I'm more present, which sounds kind of crazy because there's so much stigma around cannabis still to this day.
Yeah.
Right.
And we've seen a lot of that start to crumble around us too.
Yeah.
The stigma. There's still a lot of people that come in from Wisconsin or Minnesota that are like, I don't want you to take my license or ID and stuff like that. But they're warming up to the fact that, look, they aren't really tracking you like that.
Yeah.
They just want to make sure where it's going so that if there's a problem, they can get back to you and say, hey, this batch had, something bad with it.
Like that's a recall.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just keeping you informed of a recall. And when you kind of explain it to them like that, then they're, much more likely to.
They opt in.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're more likely to, drop a lot of those, things that they had.
So you don't have another dispensary in your town?
Nope.
In our township, there isn't.
Okay.
But Crystal Falls, which is...
about 7 or 8 miles away.
Yeah, about 7 miles away. It's a little bit bigger city, and there is 2 other ones there.
There's 2 of them there, but their city not near as good.
Yeah.
There's 2 of them there, and I believe they're unlimited, and I believe the town has like 300 or 400 people in it. So
okay.
It's... very small town.
City's
a little bit big. it's one flashing light.
So when you have a dispensary, obviously you sell cannabis, you can sell products that are associated with it, you can sell, what about merch? Are you guys cranking out some merch?
Yep, we've got t-shirts, we got tie-dye t-shirts, we've got keychains, magnets, stickers.
Okay.
And we're getting
into... What about
into
masks? Do you have a mask?
She does have one mask here. Yep.
Yes. Masks. I mean, you gotta wear them. You might as well show off your, team or your brand or your whatever.
Yep.
And we got hats and beanies coming, and I think we're going with lighters, and we're gonna do a couple other things with Genius Pipe.
Genius Pipe. Yeah. Shout out to one of our partners, Genius Pipe.
Yep. They're gonna put our logo on a couple of their pipes. I mean, Bic Lighter, I think they're gonna do a couple of things with us too.
Really?
We tried to hit a bunch of people. This convention is amazing.
It's
you
so
can
cool.
meet so many cool people here.
I mean, talk about it just for a second, because we've been a year and a half on the sidelines. Like, we had some really great online events, and but it's not quite the same as being here and meeting people face to face. And can you guys just speak to that, like, what the experience of MJ Biz, shout out MJ Biz, has been for you guys?
It's been great. I mean, we got to meet a lot of interesting people in the industry and learn a lot of stuff about ways that we can improve on our branding.
Machines that we didn't even know that were out there.
Yeah.
Things that we didn't even know were available to us. That's been a big eye-opener. Talking with the other CEOs or, presidents or inventors of certain objects is like... I mean, it's amazing to talk with the inventor of, this vape pen or this, certain item. And it's, I don't know, a different... different experience being able to talk one-on-one with the owner rep rather than it is with a salesperson, you know?
Yeah. So I want to ask you one last thing, because we're almost out of time here, but I want to ask you one last thing. Like, one of the clients that we work with, it was KC Store Fixtures. They're now called, I believe, Enspire. And they, you know, really specialize in fixtures in dispensaries that like have lighting and really good and display the stuff. Like how much thought goes into your shelving and your displays as a dispensary owner? Because as a consumer, you just walk in and you're like, hey, where's the sativa? Where's the indica? Where's the edibles? You know, what's on sale? How important is that element of a dispensary?
So for us, we didn't want to be like the other Apple Store ones where it's all, you know, cut and clean and whatever else not. So we kind of leaned back into the glazed and confused or bakery aspect. And we have bakery cases.
Yes.
Those big curved, you know.
Yes.
They were refrigerated, but we don't have them refrigerated. We just have that taken out. But that's what we use as our display cases.
And we've always heard people, a lot of times customers, when we were as a gift shop, would come in and, I feel like an adult in a candy store. So we kind of went on that theme with the bakery cases to make it look like a candy store. So
yeah.
You got your edibles in there and you can just look at the glass and drool over what's in there.
You know, if you think about it, like, you know, in this day and age, you can order anything online, right? You can get delivery, it's frictionless, it's a couple pushes of a button, boom, it's coming to you. I think the experience that you guys are talking about is what makes retail and dispensaries and brick and mortar type stores still kind of special. Because I can order a video game online, but when I go into GameStop and I talk to the people in GameStop about the new game or about this or there, it's community. And so in a way, you guys with Glazed and Confused and the way you have a theme and the way you have an experience, you almost are creating a community, right?
Yeah, yeah, we'd like to think that, you know, especially with our staff, you know, they're like family to us too, you know, we've really grown close with a lot of them and they are close with each other. They have their own group chats and their own stuff that they go off and do on their own. And, you know, they've been there to help each other when, you know, they have a wrecked car or something like that.
Yeah.
You got to pick each other up or take each other home. Or I've even heard of a couple of them picking each other up from the bars when they couldn't drive home, you know. I mean, so they're
family.
Right, that is. That's, you know, and we're really proud of that. And I think that goes through when we talk with our customers that, you know, look, we're a family here and we aren't, you know, we don't have a dress code. Everybody dresses however they want to, pretty much, and they kind of get that more relaxed. I'm coming to my buddy's house and going to get stuff as opposed to, you know, I'm going to go to the Apple Bar and, you know, kind of get, feel weird about making a purchase because there's a guy with a gun behind bulletproof glass and that's not cool, you know?
Yeah. I'm really glad you brought that up because that is kind of like a sort of turn off, I think, you know, dispensaries where it's like, ID, show me your face, you know, and it becomes almost a like militant experience.
Yeah, right.
And that takes away from kind of all the awesome stuff, you know, the best parts of cannabis is that it's kind of like a chill. I mean, I get it. It's business and you got to do what you got to do, but you guys.
Teach their own, you know?
Yeah,
if that's the way you, you know, you need to run your business or want to.
Yeah.
In certain parts, I understand that. You know, in the UP, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's still security, but there's not, you know, bulletproof glass with some guy standing there with a gun with three clips on it. It's like, really, you need three clips?
Is right.
Like the first
really going to go down?
Yeah. Are you expecting zombies to come over to the dispensary anytime soon? You know,
Oh, man. Well, this is awesome. So you guys know that I'm coming to Michigan.
Yeah.
I am going to
come there.
I'm going to plan something. I don't know. It'll be a sports trip. It'll be a, you know, seeing some family, something like that.
Fishing,
I'm coming
hunting,
up there. Yes. I am going to come in here. I am going to hang out at your place. I'm going to enjoy Glazed and Confused. So let our audience know, where can they find out more about you? Website, you know, here's where you can give a little outro, shameless plug, let people know what's going on and how they can come and enjoy it like I'm going to one day.
Nice.
Awesome. You can check us out at upglazedandconfused.com. You can always give us a call, 906-875-420, number one.
4201.
Oh, that's good.
Yep.
Oh, that's good.
Our address is 2465 U.S. Highway 2, Crystal Falls, Michigan, 49920. We're the first stop in the UP when you come from Wisconsin on U.S. 2. So look for our big yellow weedy flag flying.
Yeah, we got a 50-foot flagpole one night after enjoying a bunch of new rockets that we got. Like, we ordered a 50-foot flagpole and put weedy on it. Okay. Yeah.
I love it. This has been one of the most fun podcasts I've ever been able to do. Again, shout out to David Wallach. He did the research. He did the work. This guy went through 50 states, somewhere around there, and looked at every single logo for dispensaries, and you guys won.
I'm so appreciative. I hope we can defend the title next year.
That's right, because they're coming for you. They're coming for you. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. And to everybody that's listening right now, if you like this episode, make sure that you hit the like button, subscribe, and don't forget to share and follow along on social media. We've always got great content. We've got great people here in the cannabis industry. So once again, thank you for joining us at Cannabis Tech Talks, and we'll see you next time.
Today's episode of Cannabis Tech Talks is brought to you by Hardy Diagnostics. Hardy Diagnostics is an American company that manufactures and sells bacteriological culture media, reagents, automated microscope slide staining machines, and rapid identification kits for microbiological testing in clinical, research, and industrial laboratories. Hardy Diagnostics is proud to be partnering with cannabis testing and cannabis science laboratories to ensure that cannabis products are safe for consumers. Hardy offers a wide range of pathogen detection and environmental monitoring products. At Hardy Diagnostics, you will find a complete selection of laboratory and microbiology supplies for the clinical, industrial, and molecular biology labs. See their amazing line of products. Go to hardydiagnostics.com.